Shabbat Shalom on the Sabbath again. Here we are. And let me start the video countdown. And I'll put up the study, and that's it. Well, Shabbat Shalom. It's great to be here on the Sabbath. It's nice to be with brothers and sisters that keep the commandments. Here we are. Let's ask God to bless and anoint this reading today. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you again for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua. I thank you for eternal life. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that we have here. May you bring us more or show us where they're at. Heavenly Father, bless this reading. Bless this day, this Sabbath of God. It's the fourth commandment of the living God out of the Ten Commandments. We give you the praise and honor in Yeshua's name. May God always be with you and heal you and strengthen you. And may God encourage you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Well, we're on a Messiah congregation, Kahal HaMashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. We're in Hohenwald, Tennessee today, High Forest in German. There's the email, there's the website, let's see, there's the phone number if you ever need to call me. We're still using the Gregorian calendar over 400 years later, and today is the, I keep seeing October, the 8th month, but it's really the 10th month. Did you know that? Octa means 8. Octa means 8, but today is the 10th month. Anyway, today is October 21st, 2023, in the Gregorian calendar. In God's calendar, which is deleted from the world, nobody even realizes this, we're in the 8th month of God, called Bul, day 5. That's how it's pronounced. In English, you can say it's pronounced B-U-L, but it's B-O-O-L, really, in Hebrew. It's not Cheshvan or Ma-Cheshvan, as Judaism states, or some messianics, so they're always wrong. So that's that. And there it is right there, 1 Kings 6:38. Today's topic, just a short little topic. We live by every word of God, right? Amen. Every word. Hold on a second. So, lately I noticed some words in Scripture causing problems. You know, I noticed this recently. Yeshua said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. And this is really scary. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you're going to be condemned. So, you got to make sure whatever you're saying is 100% true and not a lie, because you can be condemned too, you know? When you use a Bible concordance, you select the word or words that fit the Bible verse, not every word. Greek and Hebrew words have many meanings in the 21st century today. Matter of fact, we don't even know if we're reading the right Hebrew that they had when they put together the King James Version. For an example, I looked up the word idol from Matthew 12, 20, 36, above. I read that before. The word idol, look at all the meanings it has. Unemployed, lazy, barren, useless, idle, slow. But you got to pick the one that fits, and we picked the word idol right there. Here's a word idol in the Hebrew. It's a Rafa, and there it is right there. Look at all the words it could possibly mean. Abate, cease, consume, draw away, you know. You see all these different words that they put in here? It comes from, well, again, when you use the Bible concordance, you use the word or words that fits the Bible verse, not every word. The concordances have gone wild with all the new versions of Bibles there are out there in the world. And that's the reason why there's so many, that's the whole reason why when we look at a word, look at all these words it means. This one word, Rafa, means to be slothful, faint. I mean, what is consume? I mean, those words don't even have any meaning in English. Forsake, you know, so you got to think of that. Recently, we were told don't say the names of the months in Scripture. We don't want to offend people. That's what we were told. Well, I'm more worried about offending God. Here is some scripture. Here is what God says about his word. And this happens to be even the names of the months. He says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. The words of Jehovah are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. So we see that God's word is definitely pure. This one says, the word of Jehovah is right, and all his works are done in truth. The word of Jehovah, by the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. So we see the word of God is pure, you know. I see the word of God. I mean, I don't know why people could say, you can't say the names of the months, you're going to offend people. That sounds almost ridiculous. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. God says, don't decline from the words of my mouth. So taking away the names of the months will be declining from the words of his mouth. Hear me now, therefore, all you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. So why would you depart from the words of God's mouth? This is the word of God. Proverbs 8 says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing fraud or perverse in them. That's right. So everything that God says is true and faithful. Every word of God, that's what we live by, every word of God. Deuteronomy 8 tells us, all the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which Jehovah sware unto your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which Jehovah your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness. It says to humble you. That's one thing I haven't seen lately, humbleness. And to prove you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. And he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not. Neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Jehovah doth man live. And it's so amazing, because Yeshua, who is the word of God, he's the word, he's quoting himself. He says, but he answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's what we have to go by. We have to go by that, okay? Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written that man should not live. That's also in Luke. So it's in Matthew 4:4 and it's in Luke 4:4. How about that? I didn't even realize that. 4:4 and Luke 4. Proverbs tells us, bow down your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart unto my knowledge. For it's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, that they shall with all be fitted in your lips. That your trust may be in Jehovah, I have made known to you this day, even to you. Have not I written to you excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might answer the words of truth to them that send unto you? So if somebody said to me, what's the name of the God's month today? It's Bul. Day 5. I'm not going to say, oh, it's the 8th month. I mean, it has a name. Let's see. Other words with problems, and this is the last time you're going to hear me say this, and I'm putting this to rest, okay? As a minister and spiritual forensic detective, I recently researched up till just yesterday, the 20th of 23, these names, Jethro, Ruel, Reuel, Midian, Kenites, Hobab, until I came to this point. And I searched and searched and searched, because I like to make sure whatever I'm saying is true, and I don't like to, you know, I don't like to say anything that's not true. I can only agree with this one Bible dictionary. It says there is uncertainty pertaining to the identity of Moses' father-in-law. The nature of the relationship of names one to another is uncertain, period. So anyone that's demanding somebody, you know, something else is totally out of it. This is not a new disagreement. This is an old argument with no answer. Unbeknown to me was this problem. I had no idea. I must admit, I did not know this disagreement was going on for a long time in the Bible world. So you see, we are not the first to have this disagreement. I'm sorry for participating in this old problem and disagreement with no answer. It has no answer, really. We can't really say. So what do we do? Should we all just leave the congregation and go on, or go on to God? I choose to go on with the people of God. That's what I choose to do. Well, how about you guys? You see, when there's no answer to a Bible problem, we move on and leave it there. We can't make anything up or try to make it make mean something that doesn't mean. We did solve Judges 4 question pertaining to two sets of 12 stones.
That's Joshua.
Joshua, excuse me. We do solve the Judges 4.
Joshua.
Should be Joshua. I put Judges, that should be Joshua, right? Okay, I'll change that. We did solve the Joshua question pertaining to two sets of 12 stones. Everybody finally figured that out. As far as Psalm 45 goes, this psalm was written to the chief musician upon Shoshanaim, and that's a lily-like flower. For the sons of Korah, maskil means instruction, a passage for learning, wisdom, song put to music, a song of loves. So that's who it's to. Now, to be very honest with everybody, we do see some verses that pertain to the Messiah. We're not 100% sure, so we just move on. We don't say the whole thing is, because we don't want to lie. That's why we do that. So, you know, we're like Apostle Paul. We want to prove all things, and we do. We hold fast to that which is good. You know, I was getting back to this this over here, these guys. Let's see, where are they at? These guys, Jethro, Reuel, and Reuel. Reuel and Reuel both mean friend of God. And there is a whole passage in Genesis that pertains to Jethro, because we know it says Reuel gave away his daughter Zipporah to Moses. So we know that's Jethro. As far as anybody else, it's uncertain. That's all. We just don't get excited. It's just uncertain. We can't prove anything. And we move on. We don't just try to make grammar not be grammar anymore, or try to change what the grammar is saying. We just read what it says. Remember, there was 57 scholars, not just Mickey Mouse people, 57 scholars that knew the real Hebrew and the real Koine Greek. They know exactly what they're saying. So I go with them. You know, I believe what they said. And I hope you do too. So we see some let's see. So Thessalonians says, prove all things. And we do. And we hold it fast to that which is good. Paul tells the Corinthians, and I feel the same time, this is the third time I'm coming to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And I try to go over these matters very nicely until it gets to the point where it gets a little upsetting. All I know is forgiveness is the answer. Okay, forgiveness. Yeshua said, after this manner, pray you, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive other debts. Okay? As we forgive our debts.
Our debtors.
Our debtors, yes. So that's what we have to do. And lead us not, don't let us go into temptations. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the part that really got me. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So I always take the first position. I always ask everyone to forgive me for anything I did out of turn or whatever you might think. But what we're saying is still true. Those three different situations is still the same. We haven't changed one bit. Yeshua said, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he shall hear you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then you go get one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglects to hear them, then you go tell it to the church, the minister. If he neglects to hear the church, the minister, Let him be unto you as a heathen man or a publican. So that's unfortunate. That's what Apostle Paul, I guess he had to do. Oh, that's what Yeshua said, actually. That's what Yeshua said. Well, this is important right here. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord Yeshua, how often shall my brother or sister sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Yeshua said unto him, I say not unto you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, all the time. That's what that means. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to forgive each other. Not supposed to get upset and go bananas and just end everything. We're supposed to forgive each other and move on. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had began to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and judgment was to be made. Payment must be made. The servants therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay you all. Check this out. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him all his debt. Then that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. That's a lot less. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Oh, brother. And his fellow servants fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And I don't know how he's going to pay it if he's in prison. We never could figure that out. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. Should not you also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Wow. And of course, this is what clinches it all. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother or sister their trespasses. And that's what it's all about. So I ask you for forgiveness, you ask me for forgiveness, and we're forgiven, and we move on in God. That's what we're supposed to do. So in closing, this is not a long study. We live by every word of God. And God says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. Remember, forgiveness is the key for getting forgiveness from God. That's really important. So we have to all make sure we forgive each other so we can get forgiveness from the Father. We never know when you're going to meet the Lord. You never know. Soon we got these two things coming, and I see resemblances of them everywhere. I see information of them everywhere. Halloween, that wasn't around until 1845, and then we have the Christmas thing. 1659, that was the first time it was done.
No, it was banned.
Christmas was banned in 1659, yeah.
And it started in
1845. Yeah, it started later on. Halloween was started in 1845. Let nothing be, it says, let nothing or no one separate you from God or the people of the living God of Israel. Follow Yeshua, the Messiah, the Word of God, onward in God. Be safe. And I was going to end here, but when I woke up this morning, I don't know if it was a dream or something was telling me to, the word blameless kept coming to me, be blameless. While I was sleeping, this word came to me, blameless. So I looked it up. That's what I always do when something is presented to me. And I know the devil doesn't want you to be blameless, so I'm assuming this was God talking to me in my mind. Be blameless. And I looked it up in the Hebrew, naki, There it is, to be clean, free from, exempt, clear, innocent. Same, free from guilt, clear, clean, innocent, free from punishment, free from or exempt from obligations. So it means all those things. It means to be, this means that, blameless, innocent. It means that you're innocent, you're guiltless, you're blameless, you're clean, you're clear, you're exempt from punishment. And that's what I had. I repented, and I always ask God to forgive me. I want to be blameless too, and I hope you do too. And that's if you're getting blamed or you're blaming somebody else. You don't want to be blamed. You want to be blameless. Period. So I looked it up in the dictionary, and it makes it very simple. It's an adjective. It means innocent of wrongdoing. We want to be blameless. I wouldn't tell you a scripture means something 100% if I didn't really know. That's why I said Psalm 45. You know, some things pertain to the Messiah, and the other part, can't really say. You know, I'd rather just say I don't really know. Otherwise, I might say tell you a lie, and if I'm a liar, I end up in the lake of fire. So I'd rather just say I don't really know. Let's move on. Here's a couple of verses about this, about being blameless. At that time, Yeshua went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple, they actually profaned the Sabbath, slaughtering all those animals and killing everything and grabbing them and doing all kinds of hard work, but they're blameless. So being blameless is really important. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abiah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And that's really important, being blameless. Paul tells the Corinthians, even as the testimony of Messiah was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift. I don't want to come behind in no gift. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And that's what forget about having a buddy. You want to be blameless before God. Spotless, you know. And this is something that, unfortunately, I think I fell into too, which I apologize for and I repented to God. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Disputings. Why? Well, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons and daughters of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you're supposed to shine as lights in the world. So we're supposed to be harmless and blameless, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Messiah, that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. You don't want, after this whole thing, to end up in hell, right? You want to make sure you're blameless. So you always ask God. I always take the first humble seat, ask God to forgive me and make sure I get forgiveness from God, and I ask everybody else for forgiveness, and I always ask God to end everything. And then it's up to the other individuals to do the same. If you don't, you're the one that's guilty, not me. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to render evil for evil. Supposed to rejoice forevermore, evermore. Pray without ceasing. I always pray all day. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Again, prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good. Supposed to abstain from all appearance of evil. And I try to do that myself. Even when I'm watching TV, I see something evil. I turn around and I block the sight. I don't want to see evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your whole soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So whether you're going to meet the Lord tomorrow or tonight, you want to be blameless. Or when the Lord's coming back, you want to be blameless. No blame. I looked up that word in the Greek too. I don't know how to say it. Amphetos means blameless, deserving no censure, free from fault or defect. So you're blameless, unblameable, faultless, harmless, sincere. That's what it really means. It means really no spot. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, one day everything's going to be dissolved. You know, we were reading Noah last night when a few of us were reading about Noah, how God drowned the world because of the world so wicked and sinful and everything. And we were thinking how much more is the world more wicked and sinful today in the 21st century. But he's not going to drown the world this time. He's going to burn it to a crisp. So seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved brothers and sisters, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, without and blameless. You know, I don't understand why people like to be blamed or blame somebody else for something when the whole situation has no answer. And then I came across this, rebuke not an elder, which that doesn't matter anymore, that I happen to be the elder here. My wife is the elder female. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat them as a father, and the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. We got to be blameless in everything we do and say and act. Against an elder, receive not an accusation. But go get two or three witnesses. If you think I'm doing something wrong, bring two or three witnesses and come to me in a godly manner. And I will, if something I said wrong, I'll be glad to look it up and research it. And that's what I always do. And I look up everything. Them that sin, I rebuke before all, that others may fear. And that's what has to happen, whether people like it or not. Anyway, that's what came to my mind last night when I was getting up this morning. So I wanted to share that with you, besides this little study I put together. So I think it's wise to ask God for forgiveness if you want to be forgiven, right? It's the key. And it's a really important. But we thank the Lord that we are. Today we always make sure we're ready to meet the Lord. If we happen to go out into eternity, all we could ask God is forgiveness, right? That's all you can do. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you feel the same way, and I hope that you're always with us. God bless you, everybody, and let's see. I'll shut the audio off. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your holy words, Lord and God. We thank and praise you for everything. Father, we thank you for forgiveness of sins through the blood of Yeshua. And I thank you, Lord and God, for allowing us to be here today in this 21st century. I thank you for our little congregation, and may you give us another one or more or whatever you want to do, Father. Whatever you want to do, not me. Whatever you want to do, Father. May you bless this rest of this day, bless the food we eat, the singing we do. Let everything be to the glory of the living God, knowing that we're going to meet you one day, We're not going to be with anyone else. We're going to be just with you personally, by ourselves. And our words, we're going to give account. And we're going to be we can be accepted or condemned by our own words. And that's why we've got to be careful what we say. And I make us always careful what we always say and what we always prove. And make sure. Heavenly Father, bless the rest of this day. And may God always be with every one of you and heal you and strengthen you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. And I'll stop the audios. May God bless everyone in Yeshua's name.